Hi, Joe.
Hi, Oliver.
Look at you. I can look at you all unkempt.
It's the this is the coronavirus, Joe. This is pandemic, Joe. And
it is
you,
pandemic Joe.
You're actually more kempt than I remember.
Well, I have a mustache going right now. It's my corona stash, my pandemic stash.
You know, we're making light of something because I think that's about all we can do at this point. I don't know. You know, nobody knows what's next. And the main thing is people are fighting for life and they're battling life and death situations. And so we're lucky at this point, knock on wood, to not be infected. But who knows where this thing all heads. So I'm in my basement launching a podcast with Oliver Hudson. During a pandemic. I don't know. I feel like podcasts happen and they're consumed during transit. If I'm ever going to listen to a podcast, I listen on an airplane, in a car, whatever it may be. And now nobody's moving and you and I have the brilliant idea of starting a podcast.
Well, our timing has always been impeccable.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what? I think people can walk on their treadmills and listen to us. I think people can get on their stationary bikes or their Pelotons, not a sponsor, and they can listen to us, you know? And guess what? I'm happy to be here doing this with you, talking to you. If anything, this will just bring us closer as friends and maybe even closer to a wife swap.
That's the ultimate ambition of this is some sort of wife swap.
I mean, I just revealed that to you, so.
Wow. I don't really know how to respond to that publicly.
Well, I get a vibe from Michelle a little bit.
Oh.
You know, and remember in Cabo when you got jealous because she was touching me in the jacuzzi?
No, I did. I have to admit to that. I did. I'm like, why are you constantly touching Oliver's arm?
It was so good. So Joe and I, we met through my sister, and then we started playing golf together. And I'm lucky enough to be invited to this tournament down in Cabo. That is very fun. And over the years, we've grown very, very close. And we were partying and having a good time, and we're in this jacuzzi, and Michelle just sort of touches my shoulder very innocently, and Joe snaps too. He goes, "What'd you say?" You said, "Why would you stop touching him?"
That's how I said it.
Yeah, it was very angry.
Would you stop? All of a sudden, I'm Paul Lind.
Like, you're like,
stop touching him.
Would you stop touching him?
No business like show business. It was a moment. I think at my core, I am an insecure, jealous type man. I think I'm getting better, but I think I come from so far in a hole on this that I'm just getting to about ground level with everybody
I'm with
else.
You. I'm with you, dude.
And the fact that I am insecure for 1,000 different reasons, I think 999 of them will be revealed over time on this podcast. I think
what would you say the biggest one is? If you could pinpoint one. I mean, you don't have to get into the web, but what would be the root cause of most of your insecurity?
I think if I didn't follow my father into this business, I think I would be able to stand more upright against criticism that I'm inevitably going to get, being the national guy and not being at big games rooting for either team, which then makes you appear to be rooting against both teams. I think if I wasn't my dad's son, my dad's been gone for 18 years now, I think I would be able to just say, you know, shut up. Who cares? I'm doing these games. I've been doing them for a long time. And, you know, I'm here. You're not. But I think when you get into it and you're a Hall of Famer's kid, and I still think of myself that way, even though an entire generation doesn't even know who my dad was, most likely, unless they're real hardcore baseball history fans or football history fans. I think that's where I get tripped up. And then you bring in other ancillary things like being the fat kid growing up, being a balding guy in my 30s, being even before that, probably mid-20s, being whatever it may be. But I think all that stuff, at least as a professional now, filters into me being my dad's son and me struggling with that.
Was your dad bald?
Not really.
Where did you get the loss of hair from?
I got it. I think most genetics that I possess come from my grandfather, my mom's dad. Now, my mom's dad was a stud. My mom's dad played in the NFL, played for the Chicago Bears, played for George Halas, was a great athlete, great man, was in the United States Navy during World War II, and was regarded as a man's man, whatever that means. And so I'll take a lot of that. However, he was bald. And he died with Alzheimer's. So I've already got the bald part down. I'm just waiting for Alzheimer's. And that's why I'm friends with you. You're 6.5 years younger than me. I want you to just keep me honest. And if I'm starting to go down the second part of that, the Alzheimer's part, I just want you to shove me gently over a cliff.
Dude, you're whip smart. You're whip smart. You're quick. When I see that edge start to dull a little bit, I will definitely tell you.
Okay.
But we have a similar situations. You know, you talk about insecurities, and mine stems from my family, of course, as well. It's the expectations that I put on myself, really. It's not about them, you know. It's a choice. I've made the choice, the negative choice, to sort of say, ooh, everyone in my family is famous. And I'm starting out in this business too, and why can't I be as famous? And then there's always the sort of insecurity of people are going to think I'm not as good as Kate, as good as Wyatt, as good as my parents. I will say, though, I'm 43 years old, that has diminished. It's not fully gone. I don't think it ever will be gone. I think that insecurity will probably stick with us to some extent until the day that we die. I think we can use that as a tool, though. You can spin it, you can turn it around a little bit, you know.
Yeah, and you and I know we've talked about this enough, and I've talked about this with your sister. And I was friends with her before I became friends with you. Now I'm 1,000 times better friends with you, but I mean Kate deals with this too on her own level. But I'm not complaining about it, because I would not have been doing what I did at a young age if I wasn't my father's son. I wouldn't have been prepared because I was around it my entire life if I wasn't his kid, if he didn't take me everywhere. I considered him my best friend, and I think on some level he considered me his best friend because he always wanted me around. Now, he was doing his own deal, but I'm not bitter about it. I'm just saying that when I'm not complaining, and I don't want it to come off that way, but I think my inner insecure voice is fixated on the fact that I got started as somebody's son.
Right, but even the fact that you said I'm not complaining is an insecurity that you think people will listen to this and think, oh, Joe Buck has it so good and he's complaining.
Absolutely, but I think that's,
totally.
That's human nature.
I get that. I totally get that.
But I think that's human nature on any listener's part. If they are going to tune into our podcast going forward, the last thing they want to hear is Joe Buck and Oliver Hudson, or Oliver Hudson and Joe Buck complaining about how hard they have it because they're famous people's offspring.
No, I totally get that, but I think there's a misconception of that because I've grown up with that. I see Kate deal with it, especially with social media now, right? Just because someone is rich or famous, you know, it seems like they can't have feelings in a way. Like, their life can't be shitty. They can't have insecurities. They can't have problems. And the minute that they complain about it or voice it in a public arena, you know, you get annihilated for it because, oh, what's wrong with you? You know, look what's going on with everyone else in the world. You have a silver spoon. That is true to some extent, but that silver spoon can turn to rust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of shit that goes along with that, and we all have our issues, and they're specific to us. There's no reason why we can't have insecurities just because people know who we are. You know,
I did a show on DirecTV a couple years ago, and I ended up interviewing 50 top flight, in some cases, Hall of Fame athletes. And what I came away from interviewing these 50 people with, whether it was Michael Phelps, Derek Jeter, Troy Aikman, who's one of my closest friends, Natalie Coughlin, a great Olympic swimmer, whatever, right on down the line, 50 different people, different sports, is everybody, no matter how much success they've had, has massive insecurities and has gone through something in their life that has shaken them to their core, and they've been able to kind of get past it. And in most cases, Wayne Gretzky succeed or whatever it might be. And, you know, Wayne Gretzky was shunned as a kid mainly because he was so friggin' great at what he did that other parents were kind of rude and nasty to him as a little kid. I mean, it's a small example. I'm just saying everybody's been through something, and it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much fame you've accumulated. It's the human condition, and we're all going through it in our own special way.
Which I'm fascinated with. The human condition is just a fascinating thing to me. You know, and that's why I wanted to do this with you, this podcast, is the sort of male perspective on some of the deeper things, I think. I mean, is it going to be crazy and funny and stupid? For sure. But, you know, I think you and I are pretty sophisticated guys.
Yeah, you know.
You know?
Yeah.
We've got some.
All of a sudden, you're doing Larry David. Mocha Joe. Mocha Joe.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I just think the fact that you and I are unlikely friends, come from completely different backgrounds, operate in completely different worlds, yet we've developed this friendship that has grown over time. I guess most friendships do. And now we can use whatever skills we've accumulated doing what we do in our other lives to combine for this podcast is fun, funny, and could lend itself to some interesting interesting conversation and
Look, with your relationships too, and with mine, but especially with some of your relationships in the sports world, you know, as far as our guests go, it's going to be pretty fucking epic. I mean, already the people who we have lined up, it's like all-star shit for me. You know, you live in this world, you get to see and meet these people and know these people, you know, on the daily. Some of them I'm sure you don't, but for the most part, like actors for me, you know, it's cool. It's interesting. I'd like to see hear what's in their brains. But when I get to sort of have conversations with some of the guests that are going to be upcoming, I get fucking nervous.
You do?
Like I'm already nervous for a few of these people. Where I've on Sibling Revelry, I've not been nervous one time, because these are amazing.
You weren't nervous talking to the Property Brothers. Come on. Come on.
I wouldn't say nervous. I was a bit intimidated.
Okay.
You know.
But if you were seated at it. Go ahead.
Well, there's two of them. You know, so if I take one out, I got another one coming at me. That, right. So it was just a little bit intimidating.
If you're seated at a dinner party, to go back to what you're saying, and next to you is Daniel Day-Lewis, you're not excited, intimidated, nervous? You don't.
It depends what movie he's doing at the time.
So if he's sitting doing there, sitting right, there as Lincoln, Attila the Hun.
Right. Well, if he's Lincoln, it's one thing. If he's My Left Foot, it's another. If he's There Will Be Blood, I mean, I don't know who I'd be getting. You know, that's a good question. If you were sitting down next to Daniel Day-Lewis
at a dinner party,
in what role would you like to sit down next to him in? Because he is a method actor,
right?
So you would be getting the actual character.
Correct. I think it's a fantastic question, and I think I would lend myself toward. I would want to sit the There Will Be Blood guy.
That's what I was going to say, too.
It's just dark and weird and...
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
My boy.
My boy.
I abandoned my boy. I abandoned my boy.
All right, off to the bowling alley.
Exactly.
Let's go bowl a few frames.
That's my favorite fucking scene when they're trying to get him to repent. He goes, I abandoned my boy. I abandoned my boy. God. But Lincoln would be an interesting conversation.
Right.
But anyway, my point is that yes, if Michael Jordan was on our podcast, I'd probably shit my pants. I don't know what I would.
Oh, come on.
I would take a beta blocker for sure.
Really?
Probably.
I see, for Jordan, and I'm not saying I wouldn't be a bit nervous, but again, I've been around him a couple of times. In fact, he was at a football game that we were doing in Carolina in Charlotte, and Aikman and I found out that he was there. I was like, let's go say hi. So at halftime, we found out what luxury suite he was in and literally walked halfway around the stadium to go say hi to Michael Jordan. I can tell you we have mm-hmm. never done that for any other person.
Right.
Who's in right. the stadium, like, you know, McCartney, you name it. Although that would have been cool,
yeah.
too. But
yeah,
but Jordan, and he's just a guy. And I said to him, I actually went over there to try to wrangle him into doing my aforementioned DirecTV show. And he's like, oh, man, everybody knows way too much about me. I'll never do that. I was like, okay, anyway, enjoy the rest of the game.
Yeah, but it was nice. But you were lucky because you had the Aikman buffer. Okay,
so I brought him.
Buffer, right? So you have a Hall of Famer, you know, who is introducing himself and you to a Hall of Famer. So
right.
It was a nice, it was a Troy buff. You had a nice Troy buff right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, they do the Hall of Fame handshake, and there's mutual respect. Mm-hmm. And then I come mm-hmm. in around and off to the mm-hmm. side, and I ask him to be on my show, and I still got rejected. But you know, it was a nice,
that's okay.
It was a good effort.
By the way, the fact that you even asked is bold as shit.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I've already texted a few people for this show that I thought we'd be like, I'd get texts right back, and it's been 6 days. I still haven't heard anything.
But that's, you know, on them. That's shitty. I mean, in some of these cases, you know,
I'm not complaining.
It makes you insecure. So let's get to your insecurities, which I know, other than being Kurt and Goldie and Kate and Wyatt and blah, 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 blah. What is your main right. insecurity within that? Like, why are you so weak when it comes to not getting a text back from somebody who you're asking? Weak. It's like, oh, my God, I've overstepped.
No, you're misinterpreting this shit. I'm not sleepless at all. You know, I kind of don't really give a shit, meaning it doesn't hurt my feelings, only because I am the worst at texting back myself. You know
yes,
what I mean? Like,
true.
I'm a lot of things, but a hypocrite I am not. That is my pet peeve. I don't understand how someone can do one thing and then rail against that same thing that you do, that person does themselves. I don't get that.
Well, so, that's good. That's self-aware of you to know that you're a horseshit friend and somebody who
yes.
doesn't text back.
Yes.
And it
yes.
doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter
yeah,
what's the topic. You are.
That's why I'm friends with you, though. That's why I'm friends with you.
God,
that's why I'm friends with you.
It's horrible. And it's
I'm
genetic. Your sister's the same way.
I assume
if I texted Wyatt, he'd be the same way. You know who gets back in your family?
Kurt.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Kurt is the greatest responder in the history of cell phones. There's just no doubt about it. But here's why I love you. Because I don't want to be friends with anyone who's going to get upset with me that I don't text them back right the fuck away. You know, there's no reason to take it personally. I'm just doing other things. Or I see a long text from someone.
It takes
like, oh,
one
God.
Second.
No.
What are you doing? What are you doing that you cannot open your... Now, there certainly you're getting texts from people, I understand, that fall into the category of maybe in 2 days I get back. But there should be certain people that, unless you're disarming a nuclear bomb, you should be able to get back on a text and go, hey, man, little busy, or hey, man, yeah,
dude,
ha, 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 ha.
Haven't you ever seen a text or gotten a call where you know you should pick it up because it's your mother or whatever, or you or me, and you're just like, I'm just not in the mood to even have a conversation or to even open my mouth right
yes.
now, or to even fucking have a thought to type letters into a phone. I don't want to think. Sometimes I have those moments. I'm like, I'll just do it later, and then maybe I forget. And then if I do, hopefully that person doesn't take it personally, you know, and think like, oh, he hates me, because that's their problem, not mine. So I just turn it around on the other person. If
how
they
do
don't like me, then that's their problem.
How do you guys as a family actually interact? Because you're all like these two-bit psychologists,
Via,
psychiatrists. You all attach extra meaning to everything. I'm just looking to get a response. I'm with you on that. I don't feel like talking right now because talking takes a thought that has to come out of your mouth, that has to, yeah. It combines effort. But come on, just say, hey, I'm busy. Talk to you later.
Okay, fine. I will next time.
Thank you.
You're so butthurt by it, though. Is that politically correct nowadays? Can you say butthurt?
No. No,
because it's that you can't, right?
No, if I'm you, I'd look sore. Outside your window right now because people are coming to arrest you for saying that.
So going back to these athletes and by the way, I don't want it to just be, you know, actors and athletes. I think, you know, again, it's called daddy issues. You know, it's going to spider off into many different directions. But the idea is to get sort of this perspective on what it's like to be a father, you know, but not from a book, not from a book you're going to buy, like how to be a dad or how to raise your children. I just love this idea of the authentic sort of grit of what it's like to be a dad, to be a son, to be a husband. To be all of these things, you know what I mean? And I would love and I hope that we can get real answers and real perspectives from some of these mega athletes, actors, and whoever it is that we have on our show, you know, because I think it's something that is underexplored.
Well, if we don't, it's my pledge. Two things: if we don't get real answers from somebody, then we're not good interviewers. And right. If even after our best efforts to get real responses, if those fail, then we trash it. We don't run it.
No. Or we just rip on the athlete and just talk about what an asshole they are.
That'd be a great podcast. What you're about to hear. Yeah.
But no. I also want to get people on though that are like, you know, experts in the field, some just, you know, also just random dads too, random people who have just regular gigs, you know what I mean, who are trying to make their way through the world and trying to be the best father that they can be and how they go about it. You know what I mean? We're all super fucking lucky. We've been blessed, you know. There's a lot of people out there, most people out there who have real shit going on and who have to try to manage their time, you know? A lot of people don't have the time to be the best father that they can be. You know, they have to sometimes sacrifice that. They have to sacrifice being a parent, you know, for the good of their entire family. You know, that's gnarly shit. I mean, especially because being a dad is my number one priority in my life, over career, over everything. The amount of TV and movie things that I have not done just because I needed to be with my children. I did not want to be away from them. You know, there's a lot of stuff because the raising of my kids is my number one priority. And I think that I'm hyper vigilant about that because my dad, you know, kind of left the scene when I was 11 or 12. And I just always wanted to be there for them. So now it's honestly, it's become a little too much sometimes. Like, I feel like even if I miss one thing or I'm not up to speed on the homework or I don't take them here, I don't pick them up from here, I've got this feeling like, oh, I'm not, I'm doing them a disservice, which obviously is not the truth, but...
That's guilt, and I'm the same way, I think. I mean, I think there's some guilt in there, and then there's your own personal story that you carry with you that you don't ever want to be in that category of not being there for something important, mm-hmm. and that's hard. And mm-hmm. like you say, most people walking this earth aren't as lucky as us and have to make real sacrifice when it mm-hmm. comes to being at different events for their kids because of work and because of trying, whether it's daddy or mommy, trying to make ends meet. And so mm-hmm. now as we sit here during this coronavirus and people are unable to go to work and everybody's been brought together under one roof again. If there is any silver lining in any of this, at least for me personally, it's caused me to slow down. It's caused me to, you know, I've got two older daughters, 23 and 20. I've got two young boys that are about to turn two, twins, and everybody's been brought together under one roof, family dinners. We played a board game two nights ago. I mean, I've never done
Dude,
any of that stuff.
It's fucking crazy. I last night, I cooked steak, and we sat around the table. And I realized that almost every night since we've been in the house and quarantined, we have had a family dinner sitting around the table, and we have maybe done that five times in my with my kids.
Yeah.
It just never happens. Everyone's running around, and it's fucking crazy. But we're sitting down, and we're having meals together, which is really great. You know, playing board games. We played Candyland last night for money. You know, I'm into my kids like to play for money. I've started them very early with
great.
That. You know. And it's not just quarters. Like sometimes with Bodhi, because Bodhi, my middle kid, loves to fucking gamble. He loves to gamble.
Where's he getting money?
Well, he's earned money just from allowance and certain bets that I make with him. Certain, you know, Wilder and Bodhi, it's like, if you do this, I'll give you this. Or, you know, if you can ollie off this two stair and their skateboards, like I'll give you one try. You get one shot and I'll give you $20 or whatever. You know, stuff like that.
Have you done that? If you stay out of mom and dad's room tomorrow until 11 a.m., I'll give you $10 kind of thing?
No.
Okay.
No. Anyway, my point is that it is, it's a silver lining is there. I get you there. You know, I mean, but there is a there is a negative to that too, because I think there's a lot of families who aren't used to being together all the time. It works very nicely when mom goes to work or dad goes to work and they have their routine. You know, now all of a sudden that routine is broken. It's like, holy shit. Like,
yeah.
We all have to be together right now. We're not used to this, you know, and that can look bad too.
It can look bad, but I don't know how the long term of that.
Well, dude,
good.
There's got to be corrupt.
It's got to be good in the end. It's got to force some sort of resolution, I think. Everybody just kind of goes along. That's what divorce was for me. You could
resolution or divorce though.
Yeah, but I've been through that, like, and the easiest thing a lot of times, first of all, a lot of people can't afford to get divorced. Secondly, it's the path of least resistance, and making a major change like that is so difficult to do for the two married people, and then for the kids by a factor of a million. So I'm just saying, everybody's kind of living their own life and passing and eating. I used to eat standing up, and I would never sit down. And I just feel like this stretch here has forced everybody to just pull the plug out of the wall and just calm the fuck down and look at each other in the eyes and put your phone down and actually interact. And I think in the end, I think only good can come out of that. I really do. And if it's so bad that you can't exist at the same dinner table, you need to make a change.
Right. Then you know that, oh, wait a minute. All of these issues that we've been sort of burying have now come up.
Yeah.
Because we are forced to be together.
I think so. And it's hard. I mean, I'm not saying that my wife and I haven't been at times over these past 3 weeks at each other's throats, or, you know, my daughters haven't come over.
Did you guys do it last night?
No.
What?
No.
Even after my pep talk with her?
No. In fact, if I was going to blame one thing, I'd blame Netflix and Tiger King for this. Because after twins all day with no help or little help, by the time everybody's tucked away and dinner has been had and then, you know, some sort of alcoholic beverage has been consumed, it's like, let's just sit here and watch this debacle unfold on Netflix.
Yeah.
And just by the end of that, it's like you're falling asleep and that's it. You're
so
done.
Tiger King doesn't make you horny?
Really?
Because there's a part of it that, you know, there's a small part of me that wants to raise big cats. I'll just say that, you know?
Are you being honest right now?
There's something.
You're being honest right now.
No, I mean, no. It's just, it looks fun. It looks crazy. I love the crazy shit. It's like, you know, first of all, the guy with like the harem of women.
Yeah.
That guy's amazing. What's his name? I think it's Joe, isn't it?
What are they? Is his name Doc or something?
Doc. Oh, Joe. No, Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic.
That's your, can we steal that for your podcast name?
Yeah, I'd like you to refer to me as Joe Exotic.
Oh my God, you couldn't be further from Joe Exotic.
No.
I mean, I'm closer to Joe Exotic than you are, way closer.
I could see you walking around with a leg brace, a holster,
yeah,
a mullet, a hat,
yeah,
maybe a missing tooth, eyeliner. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, railing against Carol.
That's about it for now, Joseph.
I'm gonna go back to making these Twitter videos of play-by-play of people doing mundane things that I've been doing. But I'm over 10 million views. It's my only interaction on the internet and social media that's been positive.
But that's pretty fucking amazing, though, by the way.
It's crazy. People are starved for some sort of activity.
I'm going to go back to singing random songs on live Instagram.
I know. We watched you the other night. That was amazing.
Yeah.
It's your song choice. It's your song choice that gets me.
It's all about song choice. So, you know, you eat about 10 milligrams of cannabis and you have to sort of find the right moment, the right high, right when you're sort of on the peak, and then come up with the songs and then belt. Then you go live. Right. There's a timing issue with this. People think that it might just be easy to do. There's a timing issue. But, you know, I am constantly finding outlets, trying to find creative outlets, for sure. And that's why this is fucking fun, and I'm excited to be doing this with you right now. Whether people listen to it or not is not up to us. It's up to them. But
they'll be better for it. Excited. I mean,
of course.
People will grow. People, that's what I like, is giving people something that they can hold on to and then grow with.
That's right. like a weed seed.
Yeah, or you know. No, not like that.
No.
Yeah, I just, this will be fun. And so now what do here's the part that kills me. So you download these podcasts for free, which I still don't get. And then leave a review. And let us become a part of your weekly life.
Okay. Yeah. Look. I'm no pro, but I have a podcast called Sibling Revelry with my sister Kate Hudson, and it's name drop. Yeah. And it's been very successful. Very, very successful. So I know a little bit about this stuff. So let me just handle this. All right.
Yeah.
I'll just
sit here and suck my thumb.
No, don't do that, because you could ruin that silky voice of yours. That's really what we need. We just need your voice, okay? No more hair plug stuff. No more hair plug stuff, because we can't let that ruin the vocal cords.
Okay,
do you hear me? And
yeah, trust me, I know that.
Okay.
That was a lesson hard learned.
I know. For those of who haven't read your book, we will be getting into all this stuff. And I will be revealing lots and lots about my upbringing in the 90s, which is fascinating. So here's what you do, okay? You download, you go to podcasts, first of all, you know, Apple. Right.
But if they're hearing this, don't they know this? How are they hearing
this? No, but
what, are you sending this out?
Well, we have a trailer that we already released, right?
But I'm saying, but now, if they're listening to you talk about how they're going to get to the podcast, they're already on the podcast.
There are people who don't, look, you have to subscribe. People listen to podcasts and say, oh, that's cool, and they don't subscribe to them. You have to push the purple subscribe button, and that's what helps us grow, okay?
Uh-huh.
Not only that, ratings are important. Oh. You have to leave a rating. Rate it 5 stars, because really, actually, on our personal rating, there is only a 5. You can only do 5 stars.
That's right.
So, yeah, we're good there. So, yeah, you have to subscribe to the podcast and then rate it. That's how you know, we can grow and get bigger and bigger to really reach the masses, to potentially change the world. So there you go. That's why you gotta subscribe. Yeah.